Welcome back to our second podcast. We still don't have a name for it, but we will have one very soon. And by we, that's me, Chris Stuckey, and you know the rest of these guys. We'll start out, the man with the hair, who describes himself as, I think, Animal from the Muppet Babies or something like that.
No, from the Muppets. The Muppet Babies is your generation.
Sorry, I'm not good with this stuff, but it's Reed Kerr.
Thank you. Thank you, Stuckey.
What's up?
Not much. Appreciate you letting us back into Casa del Stuckey here.
Absolutely. It's awesome.
I have one quick question about the Super Bowl before we get to real. Can you turn all five of those TVs into one giant television?
I can't.
Oh, see? There you go.
I can't. They can all have the game, but they can't all have... It can't be like an extended picture or anything like that.
It's a project for next Super Bowl. Just give us a drive-in movie screen.
I like it. And let's see. Another member of our merry band of four from Iowa State. He's an offensive lineman, and if you know him, you can tell he's an offensive lineman because he's huge. It's Zach Spears. What's up?
What's up? My cheeks are already hurting from laughing. We've been here about 20 minutes, and we just turn on the microphones, and we should really turn them on before we do because there's some good talk that goes on. Yeah. I can't wait to get this thing started.
Which cheeks?
And, of course, the man who provided the which cheeks comment, as seen on... The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, Friends, Will and Grace, and some random commercials here and there. Mr. 5 Hour Energy, it's Matty Five. What's up, Matt Bellner?
Oh, you're looking at it. Just notary of the public, just doing my job and putting my stamp on things here in beautiful East Texas.
Your new gig, it sends you around the great state of Texas, doesn't it?
I do. Over the last 2 days, 650 miles. Been everywhere, seen it all, and got to use my stamp today.
I didn't leave my office today.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
You didn't even go to lunch?
I was getting tires put on the van. I was stranded.
Ooh. Oh, I know that van is... I know. Did you get it lowered also?
I did not get
low
it lowered.
Low-profile root rims? And
no,
did you get
no.
That glowing stuff underneath it to where it looks like you ran over a Smurf when you pulled into town?
Yeah. No, but actually, the minivan that I had in high school, I've had decals on the side that look like ripped metal.
Nice.
Typical.
Nice.
That doesn't shock me at all.
Well, you know, you live in Longview, so, you know... Gunshots and ripped metal on cars is not out of the question.
Right now on his van, on the back, says, caught you looking. So he's going old school, some 80s sayings.
Anyway, so if you listened to the last podcast, and I know quite a few did, thank you.
Yes.
I really appreciate it.
1.4 million.
We all appreciate it. We came together to do this.
Number's not verified.
Yes, we came together to do this because we'd all worked together in the past, and we had a blast doing it, and we wanted to, you know, we wanted to come back for us, really.
Yeah,
and
this is
we're glad that
selfish endeavor.
Where else are we gonna go?
We're glad that, you know, there are a bunch of people out there that enjoyed it. Like, it means a lot to see y'all tweet about it and comment on our Facebook post saying you listened to it. I thought that was pretty sweet.
Yeah. Shout out to Whataburger.
Shout out to Whataburger.
Yeah, Whataburger.
Whataburger is awesome.
If Whataburger listened because they were intrigued and amused, or just to make sure they shouldn't sue us. But they liked it. You know, they really enjoyed it. They retweeted us and everything. So our first corporate crossover.
It didn't take long.
Yeah.
No,
one podcast, one shout out.
We're big with
when you have a passion for Whataburger like I do, it just really seeps through the airwaves.
Yes.
And they felt that passion.
They did. Exactly. Although we should have asked if it was really true about the numbers on the ketchups.
It is true. I went and told you.
You told me.
I showed you that night after the podcast.
We did have Whataburger after the podcast, and each Whataburger ketchup had a different number from 1 to 5 on it. I couldn't
really
tell any difference because it's one of those things that, like, if you think about it, you can't tell.
Where is the number located?
Because it's at the bottom of the ketchup.
Once you finish the ketchup,
no, it's on the outside.
Oh, no wonder I couldn't find it. I had like 6 ketchups on Sunday night, and I don't see any numbers. I'm being punked. Mm. But now I guess I'll get some Whataburger on the way home and
there you go.
Bottom, and not the.
I should just go over to Stucky's stash of Whataburger ketchup and grab it and show you.
Do it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do it. There's
coming up on
over
today's
there.
Show. Yeah. In addition to the great Whataburger verification, we're going to talk. We got 2 podcasts that we're doing at this time.
Yes.
At least. Today we're going to talk Super Bowl because it is coming up this week. And the Super
kind
Bowl
of a big
is
deal.
Not nearly as cold as it was last year, which is a good thing. Here's the ketchup.
Ketchup has showed up.
One of these is a number 2. One of these is a number 3.
Wow.
At the bottom of your Whataburger ketchup.
I never noticed that.
For those of you who are living in places that don't have Whataburger, move.
Urban myth.
Come down.
Is actually true.
Well, the numbers are there.
So as the Whataburger expert, Zach, explain to the audience the concept of the number if they didn't listen to the last podcast.
Well, they're listed from 1 to 5 on each packet, and they represent a sweetness. And I'm not sure which way it goes. Mm-hmm. I think, would we decide, probably 5 was the sweetest and 1 was the unsweet. I'm a 2 guy. I like the 2.
If you drive through, do you request a number?
Oh, that's a great question. You probably could.
That might blow, like, be like somebody's first day and blow their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need a number 2 ketchup.
I bet half the employees there don't even know that this exists, but I do.
Okay, I bet you're right.
I've been eating Whataburger for most of my life. Whataburger pretty much replaced Dairy Queen when I went from small towns to larger towns. I'd never heard that. I'd never even noticed it. One of those things. It's like when Haley's Comet came through and everybody goes, no, it's Halley's. And I'm like, how dumb am I? What else don't I know? I've never looked down at my ketchup in like 40 years. Zach, what else can you enlighten me on? I feel so dumb.
I have a question. Does Carthage not have a Whataburger?
They do now.
Oh, okay.
But growing up, no. Carthage had, by the time I graduated there, we had a McDonald's, which opened my sophomore year, and everybody in my class was crazy enough about fast food that they went there the opening day in their pajamas. Of course, anybody who knows me knows I slept in and didn't give a crap. Had a McDonald's.
They went at 2 o'clock in your pajamas.
Yeah. Like 2 o'clock when I woke up in the afternoon, I got a Big Mac. We had a Dairy Queen. We had 2, actually, 1 in town and 1 out by the Loop. For smart people who were driving around Carthage and not through it. You know, and just... those kinds of things. What?
That was funny. You got what?
You can pick on your hometown.
I like it.
Carthage.
Like
and then one thing here. I swear we'll talk about the Super Bowl today. I promise.
We will.
One thing. Carthage. When I was in high school, we got the McDonald's, and you know back then, you couldn't look things up on the internet. I know it's hard for you to believe, Stucky.
What?
But you know, nobody really knew what was going on when things would happen, and so we got a McDonald's, and suddenly we feel like a bigger city. You know, Carthage is a town of about 6,000-8,000 people. And they started clearing the land at one of the big intersections in town. And so we were just, you know, beside ourselves with glee. What are we getting? Is it a Burger King? Maybe it's a Taco Bell. Maybe it's one of those. And finally they put the sign up. And I remember we were all like standing across from it in the parking lot there. And we saw the first glimpse of the sign. It's a Hardee's.
Oh. Hardee's?
America's 26th fastest rising food chain coming to Carthage.
They have good chicken strips.
Here's what I remember about Hardee's. They were open 24 hours a day, but they really stopped serving anything that was any good at 10. And then they didn't serve breakfast until like the next day at 6 o'clock. So basically, we would drive through and get the 3 for $1 chicken strips. Mm-hmm. And so I would have a whole car full of drunken people counting change out, trying to divide it by 3. We got $7. Give me a barbecue sauce. I'll do a barbecue sauce with this. And so basically that was all we got. And they went out of business in about a year and a half. So I think it's now a jalapeno tree.
Well, that's an upgrade.
Well, maybe not
as good as Posados, though. Or Mercados.
A lot of shout outs today for food.
Yes.
I'm a food guy.
Yeah, he is a food guy.
And we're taking food sponsors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Posados is my Mexican food of choice, too.
It's my favorite restaurant.
Which one is Posados? Is that the one on Fifth Street?
Yeah.
Yes,
that's my place.
I don't know. They were in Longview.
Yeah, for Chris and I, it's the one by the old Walmart.
Now, are they related at all?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. The home office is in Tyler. They're all over the place. I think they got some in the Dallas area now.
There's one Mercado's.
Yeah, Mercado's.
And the rest are Posados.
Well, the Mercado's in Tyler, which... Even if you go there, if they're closed, there's a line. I mean, it's one of those places you never get in. It's the exact same food as the Posados over on Fifth Street that you can walk into at any time. And yes. For those of you not in East Texas, again, Google it. You don't get this, you lucky bastards. Yeah. Just, you know.
But it's such a great food establishment. It started in Tyler, expanded out, and now there's some in Oklahoma. So there you go. Knowledge.
So part of the Oklahoma outreach program, then. So we try to feed and clothe.
Oh, there's one
Oklahoma
in Shreveport.
People.
There's one in Shreveport, too, your favorite
there
city.
There is.
Yes. We didn't get into this last week, but... I want to ask this. One of the things I want to do today is because one of the things that we did last week was not stop talking ever about things.
I remember that.
It's like an hour and 40 minutes of random conversation. I have brought, Stucky, verify me here, the timer.
I saw the timer.
Right. Here's what I want to do. Like a PTI kind of thing. We'll get to a topic, and we have certain things we want to cover today. I'll just put, you know, 4 or 5 minutes on the clock, depending on how good we think it is. And when it goes off, we'll shut up and go on to the next thing.
So we'll call it 5 mediocre minutes instead of good minutes.
That's good enough. Worst place that you've ever seen or been in your life? What do you think? 4 minutes on that? 5 minutes?
Ooh, 5 minutes. That's a 5 minute topic.
That's a 5 minute topic. Okay,
It's a day topic.
5 minutes on the worst place that you've ever seen or been.
Maddie Fives is going to be great. I already know because he's been a lot of places.
Right. Tell you what, you go ahead and start since you're the one who kind of started all this off.
Okay, the worst place I've ever been. It's dirty. It's called Fort Dodge, Iowa, and it's nicknamed Dirty Dodge, and it lives up to its name. It's just I went there a lot. I was dating a girl who lived kind of close to it. It's right in the middle between civilization and Iowa country. It's like the last stop of civilization there, and it's not. There's
I
not
heard
much
banjos
there.
When you said that. Is that wow.
And there's always construction going on there. Well, first of all, in Iowa, because it snows so much, they only have like 6 weeks to do any construction. Yeah. But in Fort Dodge, they just leave the construction up all winter long, all summer long, just leave it up. And seriously. In a place like Fort Dodge, you think you'd be able to find an Applebee's?
Yeah, no.
I couldn't find it. My girlfriend at the time and her family were there waiting for me, and I was driving by, and I couldn't even see it. That's how bad this place was. I would just keep going down. My GPS doesn't work, and the GPS doesn't get signal in the place.
Wow.
It's horrible.
Dirty Dodge.
Fort Dodge, Iowa. The Dirty Dodge. It's really bad. And it's in Iowa, too. So.
Yeah. Mine would have to be, at one point, my wife was coming back from seeing relatives in Ohio, and she was coming back on a bus because we had taken a vehicle up there and left it. So she's riding the bus back. It's like 27 hours
on a trip.
It takes about 15 by car. So she's coming back, and I thought, well, you know what? I'll go over. I'll meet her in Shreveport because Shreveport's about an hour 15 away from here, and it's like 4 hours on a bus because they have to stop everywhere. So I thought, I'll get up like 4 o'clock in the morning, drive over there, you know, be standing there at the door when she gets out with a card with her name on it, like a limo driver. It'll be a sweet moment.
Aww.
Yeah. And so I drive over to Shreveport, and I get look up the instructions on how to get to the bus station, because bus stations are not usually in the best parts of town. And I drive into Shreveport on interstate, and I pull off on Texas Avenue, and the sun is just breaking. And I swear to God, the place looks like Escape from New York. I mean, just burned out buildings and hovels and, you know, junkies and crack whores and assistant crack whores just wandering everywhere. It's the kind of place that if my car had broken down at that moment, I would not have waited for it to stop to jump out. I would have just rolled and ran and just left everything else behind. Just, I mean, it looked like they filmed that movie, that Battlefield LA movie. They filmed that in Shreveport.
Yeah.
They had to clean Shreveport up because it looked like the aliens had done too much damage before they started filming.
Yep.
Just terrifying. And you know, I get picked up at the bus station. We drive out. And as we drive out, we drive by where you go to get on the gambling boats.
Yeah.
Everything around there, very nice.
It is.
Organized crime beats unorganized crime 7 days a week.
Yes, the boardwalk that they have there now,
yeah.
Top notch. The rest of it? Shady.
And how much of that is your money that they put there?
Believe it or not, I've only been there like twice.
Really?
I started with the Indian casinos because you could go when you were 18.
Don't they all?
He just worked his way through the levels.
When I turned 18, I went to Oklahoma to the Indian casinos and played blackjack and did all that good stuff. And then, a few of my buddies ended up in Gamblers Anonymous, but I did.
Some guys can't handle the high, you know.
They can't. Like they're good poker players, but bad gamblers.
Yeah.
So they go win $1,000 playing poker, then lose $1,500 playing blackjack, and they're 19.
You got to be ready to just walk off with your winnings at any moment.
Yes.
Because the longer you stay, the more you'll lose.
Yeah. My goal is to be able to sit at a blackjack table for like 6 hours.
Wow. Now, would you say you have an addictive personality?
Me? Yes. Yes. That's an understatement.
T-shirt. I don't want to spoil anything. That's going on one of the promos. Just
yes.
saying that.
I like it. I do. Man, it's been an issue for a long time.
What's the dirtiest place you've ever been stuck?
New York City.
Oh yeah. That's a horrible place.
That place. I went there. I was making a trip to Cooperstown, New York, to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame, and stopped in New York City. Got out. Went down the road a little bit. Turned to my dad, and I was like, I'm ready to go.
That's it.
There's way too many people.
Way too many people.
They move way too fast, and they're not nice.
Yeah.
It's the polar opposite of Texas.
I've never been there. I'd like to go for about the length of time that you just said right there. Just so I can go, hey, I've been to New York, and then,
yes,
you know, not get stabbed.
It's
and leave.
So expensive, too. I went to Applebee's there one night and bought some wings, and they were $22. Well, they're like eight anywhere else.
Yeah. Big chickens.
All right, we're over our 5-minute mark. Maddie, have you got to wrap us up with the worst place?
Yeah, the worst place I've ever been. And remember, I've cleaned Port-a-Johns for a living. I also cleaned the Arklatex State Fair for a living. And these are tough jobs. They're on my resume, as Chris knows.
Yeah.
The worst place I've ever been, Texas A&M versus Ohio State, New Year's Eve, New Orleans. Mm-hmm. When that crowd rolled in the public restroom, I'm telling you. And then the people that were eating next door at the restaurant, they had a bad case of bad shrimp. And it was a bad case of everything.
Mm.
That's the worst of all the bad things I've ever seen. Car wrecks, train wrecks, balloon accidents. That is the worst thing I've
balloon
ever seen
accidents.
In my life. The balloon races in Longview. I see a lot of balloon wrecks are devastating.
When I was at KLTV,
devastating.
We would send somebody over. You know, the balloon race is a big deal every year. We'd send somebody over to cover it. And like 2 years in a row, we almost had somebody killed from a balloon hitting a power line. And one time, just the balloon just like, oh, I'm not going to work anymore, and starts plummeting to earth. And
those guys don't even panic at all.
Yeah.
They get caught in power lines and trees all the time.
All right. I will say this before we move on. The worst smell I've ever smelled in my life is bad shrimp. And I've smelled bad things.
Oh, it's,
you talk about bitten bad shrimp. Oh, that is
bad scene.
Although Taco Casa smelled pretty bad earlier.
Oh. It smelled like a good Mexican food and cleaning products at the same time.
And
really.
Lots of cheese.
And cheese, yes. Well. All right. You want to do some Super Bowl? Since that's sort of the big story.
Yeah, that is kind of a big story.
What are we going to go with? We'll roll the Super Bowl and where you're watching the topics in together.
Let's do it. 5 minutes.
5 minutes? All right, let's go. Okay, the Super Bowl is this weekend. Last year at this time, Stucky, you and I were on Radio Row.
Yes.
And freezing to death because it was like 4 outside. It was the coldest last year I've ever seen it in Texas.
We're recording this on a Tuesday.
Yes.
And Tuesday night of last year, well, the high Tuesday was 58 in 2011 in Dallas. And the low ended up being 19. It stayed right about 19 and below for the next week.
Yes, and this is not a big deal to Zach because you lived in Iowa,
right?
But as the guy who's lived in Texas most of my life, that is literally the coldest I've ever felt it. Much better this year.
I have never been colder in my entire life.
Right, and I really do blame most of that on me being at the Super Bowl for that radio station because hell froze over at that point, and it just spilled right out into the DFW area. And hey, oh, anyway, Super Bowl this year. You got we got Super Bowl picks?
I'm ready.
Well, you're always ready. You were ready before the championship games were over with the point spreads. What is the spread on this, by the way?
The spread at most places, and all the big casinos in Vegas have the Patriots as a 3-point favorite.
Patriots by 3.
Okay. Yep.
Why is that? Do you know? Because the Giants went into Foxborough earlier this year and beat the Patriots.
Well, I would say that they're more of a traditional favorite because they've got more rings in the last last.
They've
decade.
Been there. They've
the Giants
done.
Are playing good football right now.
Well, they are. But, I mean, the other thing is that they have a better record. And, Stucky, you know far more about this than I do, but a lot of times the line is there for casual fans, especially something like the Super Bowl where people are betting on names.
It is. That influences it a lot. And what teams are playing also influences it because there are teams that the public likes to bet on and there are teams that the public doesn't like to bet on. And Vegas knows all this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nothing new to them. To be completely honest, Vegas would probably prefer the Patriots win because when the Giants were like 7-7, their odds of winning the Super Bowl got bumped to like 100-1, and people took the action.
Mm.
So there's quite a few bets out there that if the Giants win, the Vegas has to pay out like 100-1.
Vegas has got to watch that because, you know, this could be the second time the Giants do it in the last 5 years.
Who would have thought, though, that they would have? They were 7-7, and they were bad.
Steelers were a wild card team and made it. Arizona was a wild card team and made it.
Green Bay was a wild card team.
Green Bay was a wild card team and swept through it. The NFL has sacrificed the regular season in terms of parity for tremendous excitement in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. New England by 3. Who are you taking there, Stuck Daddy?
I'm going to lay the 3 and take New England. I like them. I think the public is getting behind this Giants team because of the run they're on and what they did, you know, 4 years ago or whatever. But it's Tom Brady and it's Bill Belichick. They don't have the best defense by any means, but Belichick's one heck of a coach. He'll come up with something. I mean, okay, well, look at the playoffs. They didn't do this all year. And they come out one playoff game and start handing the ball off to Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
They start, you know, just put him at running back, and he starts running with it. His first time, he gets like 30 yards. Yeah, I mean, they just come up with stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I'm going with the experience.
I'm gonna agree. I will probably root for the Giants. Is it just in a case of I dislike the Giants less than I dislike the Patriots? But you give Belichick a good angry couple of years to stew on the Super Bowl loss, and then 2 weeks to get ready. You could see anything in this one. I think this Patriots secondary is awful. You got guys back there. You got slot receivers playing corner for you,
Julian Edelman.
But you know what? Hey, it's some. If you can't beat that and take advantage of it, it doesn't matter. I think it'll be close, but I'd. If it was 2.5, I might take the Giants. But if it's Patriots by 3, I'll take the Patriots and give the points.
Okay.
He's afraid of the hook.
Yeah.
Well, I really only have one rule that I live by every day that I walk the earth, and that's never bet against Tom Coughlin. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of how I live my life.
That's how you live
your
life?
I mean, literally, when I went to Walmart the other day and I was doing some shopping and I was trying to decide, you know, do I need 8 ramen noodles or 24 ramen noodles? I'm like, what would Tom Coughlin do? He would figure out a way to get 16, yeah, even though they don't come in that package. So that doesn't make a lick of sense to me or to anybody else, but that's how I live life, and I'm taking the Giants. Because in the big games, he's always
red-faced.
Come through. Yeah, yeah,
he could have died. Yeah.
He looks like the guy that's at the bar sitting next to you with the drunk nose telling you, giving you advice, nose, and then that advice comes through in the clutch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't really have – I don't care one way or the other about the teams. I'm more concerned, more interested in the TV commercials, but I'm going to take the Giants.
Zach, what do you got?
Go with the Patriots. Because I don't think Eli Manning is elite yet. Now, that said, with this playoff run and he wins the Super Bowl, I'll consider him elite, which is like Tom Brady status. Mm-hmm. But I think Tom Brady is, since Peyton Manning's not playing this year, he is the best quarterback we have in the league. So I'm going to take Tom Brady and the Bill Belichick factor as well. And I think Gronkowski will play.
Oh, yeah, he'll play.
He'll play. And I think he'll be effective as well while he plays. And I think the Giants' luck runs out and Patriots win by 10.
To me, it's fascinating because if Eli wins, he's elite. He's won all the games you need to win. He's won 2 Super Bowls. He's come as an underdog in both of those and beaten them. And
he's pretty much a Hall of Famer if he wins.
Well, yeah. And now, if he does win, Tom Brady is, 3-2 in Super Bowls? Oh, there we go. Oh. 3 and you know, how many Hall of Fame quarterbacks lose 2 Super Bowls? I'm just throwing it out.
Is Jim Kelly in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, he is.
He was 0-4 in Super Bowls.
But he didn't win 3. That's the other thing. He doesn't have the W's on the other side of that. But all right, quickly, where are we going to watch the Super Bowl? What's everybody got? What's the call?
I'm going to be in New Orleans.
Ooh.
It's not played there this year, though, is it?
It's not. It's not.
How did that work out?
Are you getting shipped out of here? What happened?
Business trip.
Deported? Is that it?
Business trip.
Business trip.
Yes.
What are you guys buying?
We're buying some rental equipment.
So you're not going to be able to sit in your man cave with the 5 TVs and watch the Super Bowl? Does that disappoint you?
It does. It does a little bit.
Does it intrigue the rest of us?
Yeah, there's something sketchy going on. I mean,
I've got to find somewhere to watch the game.
Super Bowl weekend in New Orleans and they're not having the game there?
And I tell you, that place at the French Quarter that I did the show for them for a week, it's not a bad place to hang out. And now that I drink, it would probably be even more fun. So,
what was it called?
It's the home of the hand grenades. I can't think of the name of it. It's the corner of Bourbon and Orleans Street.
Oh, Chris would love a hand grenade.
Oh, it's...
You would like that. It's get something. It in the little hand grenade.
Yeah, it's a plastic hand grenade
they give you. Yeah. So. And there's a dude outside dressed as a hand grenade.
I met a homeless guy in New Orleans who was like hitting me up for change. He was telling me he used to be that guy.
Yeah, so. I have a photo of me with the hand grenade guy from way back in the 90s. We'll get that up on our Facebook page. ASAP. Where's my assistant?
You know, if we actually have a name for this, we could make a Facebook page. I'm just throwing it out. We do need a name.
We got to come up with a name. We can do this.
That'll be easy.
Z, what are you doing with the Super Bowl for you?
My dad and I were just talking about that earlier today. I don't know if I'm going to watch it with him or with my buddy, so that is yet to be determined. But either way, I know I'm going to have a good time with whoever I watch it with. My buddies, they're going to do something, or my dad, he gets really vocal about it. And at some point in time during – I'll count Jerry Jones references during the Super Bowl – because he's not a big fan of Jerry Jones, and he'll blame everything that happens. I had car trouble one day, and he blamed it on Jerry Jones. So
nice. And that's not atypical of Cowboys fans.
No.
It's Jerry Jones' fault. Maddie, what about you?
Well, my idiot friend bought a 3D TV because we thought we were going to watch the Super Bowl in 3D, but it's not being broadcast in 3D.
No, it's not.
So that kind of I've seen some incredible plans that kind of imploded. But I'll be in downtown Longview. The bar across the street from where I live is a wonderful establishment called Willie G's. A little shout out. I just learned today that they're having an official Super Bowl party. So I'll hang out down there. I can walk across the street to my place. Plenty of free parking, free admission.
Mm-hmm. Will you be able to listen to the commentary in these commercials while you're at a Super Bowl party?
That's a good question.
One of the problems with Super Bowls and commercials, because I worked in the advertising agency, is you don't get the bang for your buck with the commercials, because if you're at a Super Bowl party, you can't hear them.
Right, right.
All you need to make Super Bowl commercials that are based on visuals. The message gets lost on about, I don't know, maybe 40% of the people.
That's good advice. You're dropping knowledge right now.
Yes. That's if you're paying $3.5 million for a 30-second spot, 40% of the people that are watching the game won't understand the commercial.
Because they're at a Super Bowl party.
Because they're at a Super Bowl party.
Right.
That's just a little tip. Any of you guys that are studying advertising at, say, a wonderful university like Letourneau or Stephen F. Austin.
Radio, TV, film.
There you go. Radio, TV, film degree.
Drink.
Use that. Downtown Longview, that's where I'll be.
Okay, I will be, for the 41st straight year, I'll be holed up in my house. The tradition for me is to watch the Super Bowl alone with no people, basically. This started back, actually, for Super Bowls 27 and 28, which my wife at the time was a hardcore Cowboys fan. I, of course, am a Buffalo Bills fan. They had Super Bowl parties pretty much all over the town where I was living in Carthage, and I stayed away from all of them, and I watched it literally barricaded back, like zombie attacks were happening outside. I was pulled up in the house.
Was it one of those situations where when your wife goes to open the door, she's kind of scared what she might see? Like,
it was every day.
So, especially, you know, what, 52-17?
I'd be scared to open the door. I didn't speak to her for the month of February after Super Bowl 28.
And you still haven't, right?
27 was bad.
Yeah.
I actually didn't see the Don Beebe slap the ball away from Leon Lett going in because I'd left the house and I was just walking the streets,
streets of Carthage.
Yes, like Kane in Kung Fu, just wandering, trying to find justice and honesty in this world. And as I was walking by, some inbred redneck's house, I heard woo-hoo! And I thought, well, we must have done something right. God help us all. The second one, which was the fourth one for the Bills. That one hurt severely because of the four, the Bills should have won the first one, should have won the fourth one. The two in the middle, we weren't even close. So that one probably hurt more than anything else other than my first marriage, I guess. I don't want to blame put the Super Bowl blame at that marriage, because really, you know, losing the Super Bowl compared to that marriage, I'd lose the Super Bowl every day if it weren't for that one. So I'm just lucky to get out of both of them alive. But I started watching it by myself, and I found out that I'm not a sports fan. Then I have a sports talk show for like 20 years. Yeah, I love football, and that's my game. And football to me, the Super Bowl is my high holy day. I love that. I want to be a part of it. I want to watch it. I don't want to have to explain to some idiot next to me who's just there because there's a party that punting in the first quarter doesn't mean the game's over.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be around people who know what they're talking about, or better yet, not around anybody at all. Because I write a column for for my site and for other places for the Super Bowl, which it's one of my favorite columns of the year. It's like a whole...
It's great.
It's a whole like 3 or 4 pages of funny. And so I just kind of isolate myself. Plus last year I started like a half an hour late internet, and I had to stay off Facebook and Twitter and everything else, which drove me nuts. But I'll be watching it alone down in the Batcave.
Did we just engage in like a 5-minute sports conversation?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you throw a Super Bowl party for yourself?
Yeah,
like,
really.
What do you get?
No,
like
I don't really
a bucket
do much
of wings
for
or anything.
Usually we have like a pizza or bag of chips, just something you can reach over and
grab. Now, do you do Super Bowl squares with yourself? Like if I buy all 100 of them,
if the winner
I
of the like first 90, quarter,
if yeah. I bought 90 of them, and didn't buy the other 10, I would lose all of them. So,
oh, you have to post a picture of your squares. And just say read.
Just read in all of them.
Yeah,
some of them are written. Some of them, I write some of my left hand just to
Right, some of them say R-E-E-D.
Yeah, some of them say L. Reed. It's my, you know, Guatemalan cousin. And okay, there's the Super Bowl. We do have one sports question to respond to. We've thrown this out on Twitter and Facebook and gotten good response. People, there's some random topics they want us to throw.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to close out the sports portion of this with one of those? Best quarterback to wear number 12. 12 is the quintessential quarterback number.
Now, it
This is one of your buddies that came up with that question, wasn't it?
Yes.
Give him a shout out.
I don't remember which one it was. Either Wes Wills or Cody Hudson. I'm not sure.
Cody gave us a couple of good ones.
They were arguing back and forth over it today, and Wes got me today and was trying to persuade me on one.
Mm. Did any gunfire break out over this? Or,
no.
Okay, good.
No.
Just a polite discussion.
Yes, just a polite discussion.
I like it when sports arguments don't end in hospital visits. Best quarterback.
That's just 49ers and Raiders. They just
Yes.
And Ray Lewis.
America's favorite murderer.
Yes.
Well, okay, he didn't kill him, but
he just
knows what happened.
Yeah. Yes. He just curb stomped him after the person was dead.
He just said, everybody get in the car and drive. So, best quarterback to wear number 12. That is historically probably the greatest quarterback's number in the NFL.
I would think it is. Run through some of them.
Some of them, Staubach, Bradshaw, Jim Kelly, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Namath, Bob Greasy wore 12.
Eric Kramer. Detroit Lions,
Randall
91.
Cunningham,
briefly, didn't he?
Yeah, for the Eagles.
What do we got?
Wow.
I'll go first.
That one's tough.
To me, I got to go Terry Bradshaw. Not the greatest arm.
Super Bowls.
Not the greatest arm, but all he did was win Super Bowls. You know, and
he's funny.
He's funny now. He's still involved with the game. He's still an icon in the game. And he was a guy, you know, if you read about him, he didn't really get along with his coach, never really did, but it didn't, you know, he didn't post about it on Twitter back in the 70s. He just went out and kept winning.
That would have been awesome if he had Twitter.
Yeah.
Retro Twitter.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man.
Market.
That's a good idea. That's
a T-shirt.
One player said something about him, like he couldn't spell cat if he spotted him the C and the T or something.
Harvey Martin said he couldn't spell cat if you spotted him the C and the A.
Yeah, something like that.
And he said later, like he'd gone through therapy. That, like, everybody thinking he was dumb really bothered him. Even when he's winning Super Bowls, even when he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Wasn't he dumb? I mean,
he went to Louisiana Tech. Yeah. He probably wasn't, you know,
isn't that why he would go to Louisiana Tech?
Well, yeah.
If
you already tested
real.
Out of LSU, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they never have him spelling words correctly on the Fox pregame shows or anything. So I'll go Bradshaw. It's tempting to go Staubach. He'd probably be second for me just because of the era that I grew up. But all right, favorite 12s. Who we got?
I would go Staubach. That would be growing up here in Texas and seeing him, and he was on the Dr. Pepper bottle.
Yeah.
And then he had a good career afterwards. He was in the Navy. He was a good American. And on a sidetrack, people accuse me of being smart, and I'm not. I'm the opposite of Terry Bradshaw and all that. Terry and I, it's tough.
People say about Matty Five, he could spell lugubrious. You could spot him in the lugubrious.
And you get screwed because then you can't do it, and they look at you, and it's embarrassing. I went to different therapy, though. So I'm going with Staubach.
Staubach. Zach?
Staubach or Namath, but I'm probably just going to go with Roger, Captain Comeback, because he made the Dallas Cowboys, him and Landry.
Mm-hmm. When you ask Cowboys fans, you know, who the icons were, they go Landry and then they go Staubach.
Right.
Depending on when you grew up, you might want to throw it.
They won football games. They won championships for the Dallas Cowboys organization. Put them on the map, kind of made them who they are today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they used to be a lot better. But
They don't want to claim what's going on right now.
And, you know, he's still a face of the organization, kind of, you know.
He's Dallas royalty, really.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And like Maddie said, he served our country and was in the Navy. And he won a Heisman Trophy in college.
Gets the edge over Joe Namath because he never tried to drunkenly kiss Susie Colbert.
Yes. Oh, right. We know of.
Yet.
Right.
Yeah, in time.
To me, Namath is horribly overrated. Now, he had a
moment.
I've
heard people say that.
He had a moment in his life where if he doesn't come out and say, we're going to win, and then back it up and win, you know, the AFL probably folds. I mean, it really gave them legitimacy, and it was a huge moment, you know, especially for, you know, gamblers of the 70s, Stuckey.
Yeah.
But that was really it. I mean, he wasn't the best quarterback in the league every year that he was out there. he just had a great moment to me.
And he took the quarterback position to a different level where you could market it.
Yeah.
And he was able to get advertising. He was able to take
with the fur coats
and go from football to
didn't he have a
Johnny Carson commercial?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He did, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he ran with celebrities, dated celebrities, drank top shelf liquor. Mm-hmm. I think he's off the sauce now, though.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Good for him.
And that is it for the first part of the podcast. Coming up tomorrow, we will be back where we will tackle the big issues like, do any of us still have a MySpace?
Did we all have MySpaces?
Oh, I did.
I did. I still have mine.
I still have mine, but I don't remember the password to it, the email with it, and don't even remember how to
get
to MySpace.com
anymore. Did they
shut
down your MySpace page in college?
That's what you should have done.
No. I should have rebelled and went right back to it.
You could have brought MySpace back.
Yeah.
We also take your questions through Twitter and Facebook on a couple of things, including Zach's worst beard ever.
The top beard that comes to my mind is Santa's. It's creepy. It's white. It's creepy. Yeah,
creepy.
It's creepy.
Hating on Santa?
Yeah.
From Philly?
Okay. We'll go round table on our favorite fast food hamburgers.
Those burgers are better at the small town Dairy Queens, though.
Because they've never cleaned the grills in like 60 years of operation.
No, it seems like those are more homemade.
You
can
run a pot holder across that grill and it would taste like a belt buster. It's delicious. And we'll get to the bottom of what Maddie 5 hates on Facebook.
At some point, many points, they're going to put some weird random quotes, usually at the start of the year, because they get a quote calendar. And they take that quote and they think it's fantastic.
Plus, stick around long enough and we run completely out of ideas.
It could have been great.
Ladies and gentlemen, Conway Twitty.
Exactly. Yes.
That's coming up on tomorrow's podcast here on readaboutit.com. Come back Thursday for more. Reed Kerr here for Zach, for Maddie 5, and for Stucky. Thanks so much for listening.